الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، الحمد لله. We are delighted and happy, and we thank Allah abundantly for giving us the opportunity to go over Surah Al-Baqarah fully. We have finished it. Actually, so far our accomplishments have been the following. We began with Surah Al-Fatiha, then we jumped on Surah Al-Kahf, because we said we read it every Friday. Those of you who missed it, this was a while back. Then we went to Surah Al-Baqarah, and now we'll be doing Al-Imran inshaAllah. Surah Al-Imran is a very virtuous surah. However, be careful of narrations which circulate that are inauthentic, trying to encourage you to read it on Friday. You see some people in the masjid, he recites Surah Al-Kahf, then he jumps to Al-Imran, then he goes to Al-Isra, then Dukhan, then they have a list of surah that they read. There's one person, I used to see him do this every Friday. And I finally asked him, I said, brother, what are you doing? He said, you're supposed to read A, B, C on Jumu'ah. I said, no. The narration which is associated with that is not an authentic narration. So be careful of that. The authentic narration, however, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the people who used to read the Quran and act upon it, they will come on the Day of Judgment, and Quran will come on the Day of Judgment, and those who used to act upon it, and on the ones heading this convoy, we may say, will be Surah Al-Baqarah wa Ali Imran. Tuhajjani an sahibihima. And they will be arguing on behalf of the one who used to recite them. Surah Al-Baqarah wa Ali Imran. So this is an authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that the recitation of the Quran will benefit you on the Day of Judgment. Particularly Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran will argue on your behalf. Meaning they will try to get you out of the punishment. They will find a way out for you, and indeed, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal will give different things, the means of intercession. As you know, the angels will intercede, and the prophets will intercede, and even the righteous believers will intercede for others, and that's a whole other discussion. So let's get into it right away. It's a Madani surah, meaning it was revealed after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. This is important because of the context. We all know from the seerah historically that the Prophet ﷺ interacted most with the Jews and the Christians in Medina. When the time when really there was, you know, a lot of contact is in Medina. And we know that the Jews were, you know, were residing over there, and there was a covenant between them. They betrayed him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a long discussion if you read the seerah. But you will see that the context of the Madani surah, this is where the rulings and regulations were revealed. In the beginning it was this shirk and threatening against shirk and trying to establish tawheed and Jannah and Jahannam. When he went to the Madani surah, it was now the deen being established, the law of Islam, the do's and the don'ts, and the direct address to the Jews and the Christians, and how they have distorted their religions and the teachings which they received from the prophets. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل من قبل هدى للناس وأنزل الفرقان إن الذين كفروا بآيات الله لهم عذاب شديد والله عزيز ذو انتقام إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم مصطفى تفضل.
These letters are none but the miracles of Allah of the Quran, and none but Allah of the Holy Name. Allah, la ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped but He. Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the ever living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists.
It is he who has set down the book, the Quran, to you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with truth, confirming what came before it. And he set down the Torah and in the Injil, aforetime as a guidance to mankind. And he set down the criterion of judgment between right and wrong, the Quran. Truly, those who disbelieve in the ayah, the proof, evidence, evidences, the verses, lessons, signs, and revelations of Allah, for them there is a severe torment. And Allah is Almighty and all able of retribution. Truly, nothing is hidden from Allah in the earth or in the heavens.
Barakallah fiqh. No, continue.
No.
One more ayah.
Yeah. He it is who shapes you in the womb, and he is the he wills. La ilaha illa huwa. None has the right to be worshipped but he, the Almighty, the All-Wise.
Barakallah fiqh ya Mustafa. Tayyib. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى ألف لام ميم من الحروف التي لا يعلم معناها إلا الله. ألف لام ميم are from the letters that none know their meanings but Allah. This is from the miraculous feature of the Quran. And some of the ulama have said that, you know, what makes it even more miraculous is that this is the letters that the Arabs used to make up words. Just basic. The Quran is so immaculate, right? It cannot be copied, it cannot be imitated, that Allah is using the most basic letters that they know, still they're unable to bring something like it. But the real meaning of Alif Lam Mim, we don't interpret that. Only Allah knows the interpretation. Nothing was revealed concerning that. The Prophet ﷺ never spoke about that, so we leave it as is. On the Day of Judgment, things will be clear. فأخبر تعالى أنه الحي كامل الحياة القيوم القائم بنفسه المقيم لأحوال خلقه. Allah informed us that He is Hay, the one who is perfect in His life, the ever living, in other words. Al-Qayyum, the one who is self-maintained and is the one who maintains the affairs of His creation. That's what Qayyum means. Alaykum salam. The self-maintained and the one who maintains the affairs of His creation. From Qama Yaqumu. Alaykum salam. This is very fundamental. Because you read this in Surah and Ayat al-Kursi every day. Right? Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. So you must know what you're saying. You must know what you're saying. وَقَدْ أَقَامَ أَحْوَالَهُمُ الدِّينِيَّةِ وَأَحْوَالَهُمُ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ وَالْقَدَرِيَّةِ. And Allah had maintained the affairs of His servants in the religious sense, in the worldly sense, and qadariya from qadar, which is preordained and decree, meaning He already pre-decreed what will happen to each and every one. فأنزل على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الكتاب بالحق الذي لا ريب فيه وهو مشتمل على الحق. So He sent down upon His messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم the book in truth, in which there is no doubt, and the book contains the truth. Meaning the book was sent in truth, and in it is the truth. وبالحق أنزلناه وبالحق نزل سورة الإسراء. And with the truth we sent it down, and in truth it came down. Meaning everything pertaining to the Qur'an is nothing but the truth. This is why you find the Qur'an a very offensive book to the kuffar. Now when you give da'wah, what do you have to do? You have to kind of come, you have to be wise, right? You can't tell to a Christian in their face, you know, the reality of what they're upon. You have to kind of zigzag your ways. The Quran doesn't do that. Allah calls them like animals. He calls them stupid. You know, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you not understand? مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. What kind of judgment is this? Right? لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا. They have disbelieved. You know, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. These are the disbelievers. They will enter Jahannam eternally. I mean, there's no joke in the Quran. Right? This is why I remind myself and you, it is not always the most suitable gift to someone who knows nothing about Islam. You see what I'm saying? Some people say, okay, I want to give da'wah. They go by, you know, the interpretation of the Quran in the language of the person, and they give it to him. That's not enough. Sometimes, this is not enough. If they don't have a background, because they open a chapter that says, and kill them wherever you find them. Now what? Now who's going to explain to him the misconception about terrorism and jihad? No one. It may turn him off. So, whatever I saw in the news, is in the book. You see, these verses are there or not. If you read Surah Al-Anfal and Surah Al-Tawbah, it's all military. These are military chapters. You read them and say, whoa. Now we believe. But for a non-Muslim, this may be a little traumatizing. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he would not just, you know, didn't have anyone write the Quran and say distribute it among the people. He will give them verses like medicine. Allah will address the people's needs, and the Quran was like medicine. So when he sent the letter to Heraclius and other the leaders, he quoted to the ayah in the Quran, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. When he was speaking to the Christians, he quoted an ayah. All people of the book. Now this is a nice invitation. Come, let's come to a common ground, common terms between us, that we worship none but Allah. See, the ayah was then, it was suitable for the audience. So the Quran is a very straightforward book, because it's the truth. And there's no compromising with falsehood. There's no compromising with falsehood whatsoever. And this is something we need to know, and this is how we apply the da'wah. We quote the right verse to the right individual. The whole Quran may work. I'm not saying it doesn't work. It depends on the person. Inshallah, they open other chapters. Inshallah, you know, they've already had a background. Someone explained to them already, and they're willing to accept the truth. But not very often, this is the case. So just be careful of that, inshallah. Ala kulli hal. مصدقا لما بين يديه من الكتاب أي شهد بما شهدت به ووافقها وصدق من جاء بها من المرسلين. It confirms what was sent beforehand, before the Quran, which we know of three. Actually, we know of four. Who knows them? Who can enumerate the four revelations which we have known by name? The Torah. Zabur,
Suhuf-i-Ibrahim.
Suhuf-i-Ibrahim wa Musa. So we know four. The Torah given to Musa alayhi salatu salam, the Injil, which is the Gospel really, that we don't have today, given to Jesus, the Zabur, which is the Psalms of David, and Suhuf-i-Ibrahim, the Scriptures of Abraham. These are the four revelations which we have by name. Now there may have been more, but Allah did not mention them. These were the ones that were mentioned to us, so these are the ones that we are familiar with. And we believe in them. However, we don't have them today available. We may have some remnants, some of the authentic teachings that were mentioned in these books, you know, and their corrupted versions right now. Yes, in fact, this is almost a fact. If you read the Bible, you will find Tawheed in the clearest terms. You cannot even doubt it. It's just like the Quranic teachings. Even the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, is like many verses in the Quran, that in the beginning Allah created the heavens and the earth. I mean, these are things which are, we agree on. So these could be some of the things which remain from the previous scriptures, but we don't have them intact. We don't have them preserved. The only one which is preserved is the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it bore witness to that which preceded it. It agrees with it, and it confirms what the messengers have brought therein, in these books. وَكَذَلِكَ أَنزَلَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنجِيلَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ. Also he sent before this book, the Torah and the Injil, before the Quran. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ, guidance for people. Guidance for people. وَأَكْمَلَ الرِّسَالَةَ وَقَتَمَهَا بِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَكِتَابِهِ الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي هَدَى اللَّهُ بِهِ الْخَلْقَ مِنَ الضَّلَالَاتِ وَاسْتَنْقَذَهُمْ بِهِ مِنَ الْجَهَالَاتِ. And Allah completed the message, and he sealed it with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his glorious book, with which he guided the creation from the deviance and the misguidance, and he saved them from the ignorance. وَفَرَّقَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ وَالسَّعَادَةِ وَالشَّقَاوَةِ. Furthermore, Allah made a distinction between the truth and the falsehood, and between bliss and wretchedness. وَالصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ وَطَرِيقِ الْجَحِيمِ وَطُرُقِ الْجَحِيمِ. And He made a distinction between the straight path and the path which lead to the hellfire. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَاهْتَدَوْا حَصَلَ لَهُمْ بِهِ الْخَيْرَ الْكَثِيرُ وَالثَّوَابُ الْعَاجِلُ وَالْآجِلُ. Those who believe in it and are guided with the book, then they have attained abundance of good and a great reward. العاجل والآجل, the early one and the later one, meaning the one in the dunya and then the one in the life to come. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ As for those who belied or denied or rejected or belittled or undermined the ayat of Allah, which includes the miraculous ayat, which are the ones in the Quran, the ayat, and the ayat, the signs of Allah, which is the miracles and the proofs and the evidences and so on and so forth. التي بينها في كتابه وعلى لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Which are the ayat? The ones that Allah has explained and clarified in His book and upon the tongue of His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. لهم عذاب شديد والله عزيز ذو انتقام. They shall have a severe torment and Allah is full of might, revengeful. Full of might, and He takes revenge from those who reject Him and reject His messengers. طيب ومن تمام قيوميته تعالى أن علمه محيط بالخلائق. And from the perfection of Allah's self-sufficiency and self-independence is that His knowledge encompasses the creation. His knowledge encompasses the creation. لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. Nothing is hidden from Allah. Not in on earth and not in the heavens. Anything that takes place anywhere is known to Allah. And really you get to see this or feel this when you go to the ocean. I was telling the brothers, you know, we had a good experience the other day. One brother went, you know, snorkeling out in the ocean. And when you go down there, there's like a whole world of fish and octopuses and, you know, all kinds of odd, even the rocks and the plants and, you know, but it's a whole other universe. It's a whole other world underwater, which you don't really interact with. And each fish, you know, how many fish are there? By the way, fish, the plural of fish is fish. Maybe many people don't remember this from school, right? Sheep, you can't say sheep. I bought 2 sheep and 2 fishes. Right? Doesn't work. How many fish are there? Millions. And everything is known to Allah. Not only is known that Allah created them and He created the ocean and He allows them to live and survive. And you know, some of them, if you try to attack them, they will, like the blowfish, it will just like blow. They become, you know, big and it may, you know, throw some spikes at you. The shells, it's just a whole amazing world. And nothing is hidden from Allah, you know, and this is that, yeah. Now you are in a very limited geographical location, you know, you're within like a few meters. You have to realize that this is all over the world. On earth, how many oceans are there, how many fish are there, how many crabs, how many whatever, animals on earth, and birds flying, you know, every worms, bacteria, cells, nucleus in the cells, everything is known to Allah. Nothing is hidden. That's the knowledge of Allah. And sometimes you think He doesn't know what we're doing. Right? We close the door, okay, no one can see me now. Ha-ha! But Allah sees you, man. I mean, if you close the door, yeah, your boss may not see you, Allah understand. But Allah will see you. If Allah knows all these little details, then what about something as big as us? You know, compared to the bacteria. Obviously it is known. This is besides the angels writing down, كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Noble scribes, they don't lie, they don't cheat, they don't falsify. They know everything that you do. Then our limbs will bear witness on the day of judgment. Allah will make the mouth sealed. And your own hand will say, oh Allah, He did this with me. Your own skin will bear witness. Your own foot will bear witness against you. So all these are witnesses on the day of judgment. So Allah musta'an. You get the message, right? I get the message. Let's hope we can act upon it, inshaAllah ta'ala. حَتَّ مَا فِي بُطُونِ الْحَوَامِلِ. Even what is in the wombs of the mothers, Allah knows that. Now many people get confused with this concept. And they say, because Allah said in Surah Al-Shura, I believe, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Right? And He knows what is in the wombs. And you know, people said, okay, you say that no one knows the gender, but Allah, He knows if it's dhakar or unsa. But now they have the ultrasound, and you know, we're able to tell. We say, is that knowledge like that knowledge? After you get all these machines, and you get the woman, and the doctor has to wait for the child to open their legs, right? If the child doesn't open their legs, they don't know anything. You may come for a three visits, four visits, five visits. They can't tell the gender until they see something. Is that knowledge? Using all these machines, trying to see, you know, they may make a mistake. And they have done so before. They said, oh, it's a boy. And then it turns out to be a girl. You know, or they say the other way around. So this is not knowledge. They don't know what's in there. And anyways, they can only find out after some stages have already passed. After the child has developed to a stage where they are private parts. Before that, who knows what's in the arham, whether it is male or female? Only Allah. And even if they find a way to discover from the very early stages whether it would be male or female, who knew before this came into existence? Who pre-decreed it? Allah. And that knowledge no one can reach. So it is always Allah. Even if the human beings are able to find out something at some time, we cannot give them the ultimate knowledge of that matter. They are elements of this knowledge which no one has any access to. And this is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same, وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْبِ. Allah sends down the rain. So you get the forecast. Say it's going to rain tomorrow. Tayyib, this is based on studies. But can you guarantee rain? You can't. And even when you guarantee, who allowed it? Who, if he wills, will change the weather? You know, he's saying, okay, based on the winds coming from the west, they will mix with the blah blah. Who can change everything around and nothing will happen? Allah, we don't have knowledge. We only find, you know, based on experiment, then we assume. We assume that this may happen or this may not happen. But only Allah knows the ultimate end of things. Tayyib. So He's the one who fashions you in the wombs as He wills. من ذكر وأنثى. Whether as a male or a female. وكامل الخلق وناقصه. And someone and a child who's complete in his creation. And some who are incomplete. You know, some people have extra toes. Some people have less toes. Some, you know, children come joint. You know, children, you know, come in two and one. They share a heart maybe. They share some livers. And then they have to separate them if it works out. You know, these are incomplete creation. Where there's a deficiency in the actual newborn. And sometimes Allah gives you a complete, you know, perfect, if I may say, child. It's Allah who proportions all that. متنقلين في أطوار خلقته وبديع حكمته. Then you are kind of moving about in the various stages of the creation and the greatness of Allah's wisdom. فمن هذا شأنه مع عباده واعتنائه العظيم بأحوالهم من حيث أنشأهم إلى المنتهى أمورهم لا مشارك له في ذلك فيتعين أنه لا يستحق العبادة إلا هو. Whose ever's affair is of such with his slaves and his great concern over them and the various stages that they undergo and from the time that he creates them until the time the affairs return to him. Then, and there's no one helping him in that, there's no partners with Allah alongside with that, then verily it is only he who deserves worship. It is only he who deserves worship. That's why Allah says, La ilaha illa huwa. There's none worthy of worship but he, Al-Aziz, الذي قهر الخلائق بقوته واعتز عن أن يوصف بنقص أو بنعت ذم أو ينعت بذم الحكيم في خلقه وشرعه. None has the right to be worshipped but he, Al-Aziz, the one who has overpowered all of his creation with his strength. And he is almighty in the sense that he is all great, that he cannot be described with something that is deficient, with anything which undermines his greatness and perfection. Al-Hakim, the one who is all wise in his creation and in his legislation, in that which he has revealed unto us. Now this is a very fundamental ayah. This ayah, if we understand it in the right context, then inshallah, da'wah will become a very easy task. Actually, if we don't know this ayah, you don't know da'wah, really. If we don't know this ayah, we are dealing with one aspect of da'wah, but we are not there. We're still not able to deal with any situation that may arise by the non-Muslims and deal with it correctly. Because this issue here is foundational more than anything. You will see. هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. تفضل يا شيخ مصطفى.
It is he who has sent down to you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book of this Qur'an. In it are verses that are entirely clear. They are the foundations of the book. And those are the verses of al-Ahkam, the commandments, al-Fara'id, the obligatory duties, and al-Hudud, the law for the punishment of deeds and of adulterers. And others not entirely clear. So as for those in whose hearts there is a deviation from the truth, they follow that which is not entirely clear thereof, seeking al-fitna, polytheism and trials, and seeking for its hidden meanings. But none knows its hidden meaning except Allah. And those who are firmly grounded in knowledge say, we believe in it. The whole of it, clear and unclear verses, are from our Lord. And none receive admonition except for the men of understanding.
Continue, brother. One more ayah.
They say, our Lord, let not our hearts deviate from the truth after you have guided us and grant us mercy from you. Truly, you are the bestower.
Barakallah fi. Now this ayah is unbelievable. يخبر تعالى عن عظمته وكمال قيوميته أنه هو الذي تفرد بإنزال هذا الكتاب العظيم. Allah speaks about His majesty and the perfection of His self-sufficiency and that it is He who sent down this glorious, this great book الذي لم يوجد ولم يوجد له نظير أو مقارب في هدايته وبلاغته وإعجازه وإصلاحه للخلق. A book which there has never been and there will never be anything similar to it or even equal in its guidance, in its eloquence, in its miraculousness and its rectification of the creation. وَأَنَّ هَذَا الْكِتَابَ يَحْتَوِي عَلَى الْمُحْكَمِ الْوَاضِحِ الْمَعَانِي And that this book contains rulings, ayat which are entirely clear. مُحْكَم is like something that is fixed and firm. Something that cannot be shaken. طيب وأن هذا نعم البين الذي لا يشتبه بغيره. It's so clear that you do not confuse it with something else. It doesn't cause any ambiguity. ومنه آيات متشابهات تحتمل بعض المعاني. And other are آيات which are not entirely clear. Let's call it ambiguous. Ambiguous, which may be interpreted in more than one way. Okay, pay attention now. ولا يتعين منها واحد من الاحتمالين بمجردها حتى تضم إلى المحكم المحكم عفوا and the ayah on its own cannot be really labeled in which direction we should understand it unless we refer to one ayah which is entirely clear. So there are ayat which are pillars, they are fixed and firm. And there are other ayats which may be interpreted in more than one way. We cannot interpret it in any way unless we refer to one of these ayats which is firm and fixed. So we say in the light of this ayah, now we understand this ayah. Because this ayah may be interpreted in more than one way, we cannot say it means that because it may have another meaning. When do we understand it? When we refer to that which is clear. Example, I don't know if I can think of a worthy example, Allah. In school, for example, you have a book, the math book, and then you have some exercises which the teacher gives you. I'm not used to someone sneezing twice, it's your fault. Tayyib, what was I saying? Right, so if you get some exercise, and you don't know how to solve it, the teacher may want you to do this or may want you to do that. How do you understand? You must refer back to the book. And when you go to the book and it shows you how you're supposed to deal with this kind of exercise, then you know, okay, for sure, I'm supposed to do this equation or whatever, this exercise in this fashion because the book is the reference. Otherwise, maybe the teacher wants me to add, maybe he wants me to subtract. Right? But when you go back to the book and you find that all these exercises came in subtraction, then you must subtract. Is that clear? Or did I confuse you more? Allah musta'an. طيب. فالذين في قلوبهم مرض وزيغ وانحراف لسوء قصدهم يتبعون متشابه من. However, those who in whose hearts there's an illness, there's deviation because of their ill intent, they go chasing after that which is not entirely clear, after that which is ambiguous. فيستدلون به على مقالاتهم الباطلة, and they use it as an evidence to support their false statements. They use the Quran to support their false statements. وآراءهم الزائفة, and their opinions, their fake opinions. طلبا للفتنة, what are they seeking? They're seeking fitna, trials. وتحريفا لكتابه, and to distort the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وتأويلا له على مشاربهم ومذاهبهم ليضلوا ويضلوا, and interpreting it in a manner according to their desires. With that, they are misguiding people and they are being misguided themselves. And this is so common, it's not even funny. And I gave you this example before and there's no harm in giving it again. Among the examples which we can apply to understand this foundational principle again is the da'wah to the Christians and the concept of the Quran speaking in plurality. Allah speaking about Himself in plurality. Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra. Verily we have sent down the reminder. Wa inna lahu lahafidhun, and we will be preserving it. We will be guarding it. So someone says, okay, that's what I believe too. That's probably the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He's saying we. That's what I say, we. I believe in the Father. Christian will tell you, I believe in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and these three gods are one. And your Quran teaches the same thing. Sometimes it says I, you know, one speaking of God, and sometimes it mentions that this God is made of three. Huh? What do you say? Ha, Jama'ah. Allah, Allah. What da'wah are you giving? What da'wah are you giving? Aywa. Now, yes, but I want us to apply this rule. The rule is what? When someone brings to you an ayah which is ambiguous, can be interpreted in more than one way, you say, time out. Let me take you to the fundamental principle. Let me take you to an ayah which you cannot play around with. And we must understand this ayah which is causing you problems in the light of this ayah which cannot be interpreted in more than one way. Yes. That is what I'm trying to say. If you know this, if you have this down, no kafir can deal with you ever. If you know the Quran. But that means you must be reading and gaining knowledge and knowing the book of Allah. Were you able to slam them with the evidence? So how do you refer this to an ayah in the book of Allah so clear that it cannot accommodate the concept of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or that we means more than one God? Beautiful. That's one. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. And أَحَد, one, in the language is different than واحد. واحد is one. أَحَد is not the same as واحد. Right or wrong? Is unique in his oneness. Not only one, he's so unique that there's no other one like that one, and there's no two to that one. That cannot be interpreted in any other way. If they continue to argue, continue to read. لم يلد ولم يولد. He did not beget, nor was he begotten. So where did you get the Father and the Son from? Now that is an... Can you interpret لم يلد ولم يولد in a number of ways? No, there's one interpretation. Allah did not beget any children, nor was he begotten. This is firm, محكم. The ambiguous one is نحن, we. Then we say, listen, now that we understand, We have more than one plural in the language. Not only in Arabic, even in English, and actually most languages in the world. And in English, you give them basic grammar. Say, when I speak to you, I say, how is you? Or how are you?
How are you?
How are you? Why? Respecting the person you're speaking to. Even though he's singular, and in the language say, he is happy. You say, he are happy? He is. Why he is? Singular.
singular.
Now, if you are a singular, why am I saying you are? Because this is respecting the one you're speaking to. So in the language, we have plurality that is not associated with numbers. It has to do with respect, grandeur, magnificence. And this is something in the Aramaic language as well. I mean, in the Al-Lugha Al-Ibriya, the language, the Hebrew, this is the same concept. And Arabic is a sister language to the language of Jesus, peace be upon him. So then we have no issue. This was something that they used even then. This was the terminology people used. Even today, I don't know who are from the British brothers here, can attest to this, that the Queen will say, we, you know, decree that, you know, there will be no more burqa, you know, in the UK, or something along these lines. Every day they come up with some new stuff, man. Man, I'm telling you, if they keep banning this hijab, maybe they will be banned from this earth. I mean, these people are declaring war against Allah. You mean, see how sick the kuffar are? Wallahi, the sickest people on the planet. If a woman walking down the street with a bikini, no one will say a word. It's halal. But if she wears hijab, no. Ishada. This sickness, man. They can't see someone trying to be good. They want wickedness. Even the nun. Why don't they ban the hijab of the nuns? I don't know. Why don't they ban the gay priests? Why don't they ban all these wicked things that they're doing? No problem. Only Islam. In all these countries now, everybody's attacking Islam. But don't worry, what they're doing will backfire. This will wake up the sleepy Muslims. Some Muslims don't do anything until they're shook, you know? Until they see that they're being really, you know, attacked, then they say, okay, I've had enough. Otherwise, they're sleeping. So these things actually, they encourage the Muslims to return to their deen. Some people say, okay, now, you know, now my daughter will wear the burqa tomorrow. Even though she never used to wear it before. It becomes, you know, a challenge. Okay, I will show you. That's good. That's good. That wakes up the Muslims a little bit. So in every trial, there's good. In every fitna, there's wisdom of Allah. Allah decrees that there's goodness that will come eventually. We may not see it immediately, but we expect it to come down the line. So then, we say, he did not beget, nor was he begotten, and that plurality is the royal, they call it plurality, royal plurality, or plurality of royalty, or whatever you like to call it. It is not numbers. And by the way, that Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks Himself in terms of pronouns in the Quran in four different ways. Either Ana, or Nahnu, or Huwa, or which is the fourth one? When Allah speaks of Himself in the Quran and using pronouns, He either says Nahnu, Inna Nahnu, Nazzalna Dhik, La ilaha illa Huwa, He, Ana, I. What else?
Inna.
Inna, no, there's another one. Inna is we. Nahnu, the same. Inna and Nahnu, the same. There's one more. I don't remember right now. The bottom line is, all three of them, the only one which, all four of them, the only one which is plural is Nahnu. Huwa, and Ana, and what is the fourth one? La ilaha illallah. Anyways, the only one which is plural is Nahnu, we. So we say, if the pronoun was used, the pronoun was used to refer to Allah, the only one which is used in plurality is Nahnu. Whereas the other three are always in the singular. Ana, Wahua, and the third one, which I don't remember, is in the singular. So then, on what basis are you getting that exception and try to claim that Allah is a plural, more than one God? If this was the case, then Allah would have used it all across. He wouldn't have said Huwa, He would have said Hum. They. La ilaha illa huwa. There is no God worthy of worship but He. If Allah was more than one as they claim, He should have said La ilaha illa hum. There is no God worthy of worship but them. But that wasn't used. So then again, this is to prove our point. Then you could say to the Christian, if you're claiming that Jesus is the Son of God, then we have another ayah muhkama. What is the ayah? Aywa, who remembers the ayah, Jama'ah? The ayah which we can use again to negate the concept of Allah Azza wa Jalla having a son. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. That's one ayah. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثٍ. two ayat. They have disbelieved those who say that Allah is the Messiah, the Son of Mary. This is negating their co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent concept of God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost. And the other ayah, they have disbelieved those who say that Allah is a third of three. In the clearest words. So now you're saying that Allah, you're claiming that nahnu, we, means that Father, Son and Holy Ghost. And here Allah's telling you, they have disbelieved who say that Allah is one third of three. You see? So now this is a muhkama, it's a firm, fixed ayah, and we understand the ambiguous one in the light of this one. This applies all over the Qur'an, and it applies in all aspects of da'wah. Anytime someone presents to you something ambiguous, if you familiarize yourself with the ayat, the firm, the entirely clear ayat, you will be able to explain any misconception that someone presents to you. Provided that we learn these ayat. So for you to become involved in da'wah heavily, you can be doing little da'wah, you know, you're able to get, you know, some points across, alhamdulillah, that's good, continue. But if you want to be heavily involved in da'wah, you got to do some work, right? If you really want to be good at it, then you have to get, you know, read and try to memorize the ayat, and it's a mission, just like any other person in any other profession. When they want to become good at that profession, they must learn the, you know, the intricate details of the business and how to do it and so on and so forth. If someone wants to fix watches, he better be familiar with how to deal with all kinds of watches. Any customer comes with them with a watch, he doesn't say, oh, this kind of watch, I'm sorry, I can't fix. Say, what are you opening a store for? You know, it's my watch, it's just a regular watch. You know, it's a psycho, right? Psycho. Anyways.
And the last ayah is from Surah.
I'm trying to confirm whether it is in Al-Imran, it's either Al-Imran or An-Nisa. Oh, mashallah. Let's see, chapter 13 is what?
I can't remember myself.
Are you sure, bro?
I'm not so sure.
That will give you the reference after, inshallah.
Yeah.
Anyways, let me tell you something. There's a website called Islamic City, ISLAMCITY, I don't know if it's .com or .net or .something. On there, on the main page, the Quran page, there's something called phonetic search. Phonetic search. You put the actual ayah in English letters. For example, you're looking for قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. You put قُلْ K-U-L Yeah, Y-A-A, something along these lines. And you press search, it will give you all of the ayat where this ayah or these words are mentioned. So in case you're unable to find it now, when you go home, go in there and say, ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ ثَالِث, T-H-A-A-L, you know, I, whatever, ثَلَاثَ, and you will get the ayah ala tool. This is a very important da'wah tool. You found it?
No, I said one.
It's not there?
No. It's not the one.
It's not the one. Thank you. Well, since now we have caused this. So this is then, my brothers, the way we deal with it. We must become familiar with the entirely clear ayat in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now the Shaykh goes on to say, hello. وَأَمَّا أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ الرَّاسِخُونَ فِيهِ الَّذِينَ وَصَلَ الْعِلْمُ وَالْيَقِينُ إِلَىٰ أَفْئِدَتِهِمْ. As for the people of knowledge, not anyone, rasikhun, those who are well grounded, it's like a tree that is way deep in the earth. It's not just, you know, on the surface. Rasikhun is something that is firmly fixed, you know, unshakable kind of thing. Those who are grounded in knowledge, those whose the knowledge has reached, the knowledge and yaqeen, certainty, have reached their hearts. فَأَثْمَرَ لَهُمُ الْعَمَلُ وَالْمَعَارِفُ. And that produced thereof fruits and knowledge. فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كُلَّهُ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. They know that the Qur'an is in its entirety is from Allah. The whole Qur'an is from Allah. وَأَنَّهُ كُلُّهُ حَقٌ مُحْكَمَهُ وَمُتَشَابِهُ. And that everything in it is the truth. Whether the ayah is entirely clear or ambiguous. Those who believe, they have no doubt that this is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. They have no doubt in their hearts. وَأَنَّ الْحَقَّ لَا يَتَنَاقَدْ وَلَا يَخْتَلِفْ. And that the truth does not contradict itself, nor does it change. فلعلمهم أن المحكمات معناها في غاية الصراحة والبيان يردون إليها المشتبه الذي تحصل فيه الحيرة لناقص العلم وناقص المعرفة. Because of the certainty they have, they refer anything which is ambiguous to the ayat which are firm, because they have a conviction that this is from Allah. So then we must understand the other ayah in the light of that, because this is from Allah. This is their knowledge. And this is the ayat, those ambiguous ayat, who gets confused in them? People who lack knowledge and lack information. These are the ones who don't know, because they do not know of another ayah. They read nahnu, they get confused, because they don't know the other ones we just quoted earlier. Had they known them, then from automatically they would have said, okay, nahnu must mean something else. Right? Even in ignorance, the person will say, I don't know what we here means, but I'm sure that it doesn't mean that there's more than one God. Because I've been reading the Quran and it keeps telling me there's no God worthy of worship but Allah. La ilaha illallah. Qul huwa Allah wahad. Right? It keeps denying Allah having partners. So how is it possible that we can mean more than one? So they automatically understand that because of their knowledge of the other verses in the Quran. فَيَعُودُ كُلُّهُ مُحْكَمًا فَيَرُدُّونَ الْمُتَشَابِهِ إِلَى الْمُحْكَمِ فَيَعُودُ كُلُّهُ مُحْكَمًا. So they refer كُلَّهُ عَفْوًا. They return the ambiguous to the clear. So then everything will become entirely clear. Even that which was ambiguous earlier is no longer ambiguous, because we have understood it in the light of that which is entirely clear. So now everything is entirely clear. Amazing. ويقولون. Furthermore, they go on to say, آمنا به كل من عند ربنا. We have believed in it. All of it is from our Lord. We have believed in it. All it's from our Lord. وما يذكر للأمور النافعة والعلوم الصائبة. And none remembers the beneficial knowledge and the correct opinions إلا أولو الألباب, except people of intellect, people who have a brain. أي أهل العقول الرزينة, those with a firm mind. فبهذا دليل على أن هذا من علامة أولي الألباب وأن اتباع المتشابه من أوصاف أهل الآراء السقيمة والعقول الواهية والقصود السيئة. عجيب. With that, we learn a very important principle. If you see someone, anytime they come across something ambiguous, they refer to the entirely clear, this is indicative of their high intellect and IQ. These are people who are smart. On the other hand, if you see people playing around, people trying to go after that which is ambiguous and abandon that which is directly clear, then this is an indication about their ill opinions, their feeble-mindedness, and their ill intentions. These are people who are not really intellectual, not really intelligent, even though they may appear to be so. And you will come across, unfortunately, many, many Muslims like that. Muslims who have doubt in the Quran. A Muslim who has doubt in the Quran. You know, why did Allah say this over here? Is this really good? Subhanallah. You know, what kind of statement is that? This is a statement of disbelief, by the way. But we excuse the person for ignorance, and we don't declare disbelief against them. But that statement is a statement of disbelief, to say, is this really a good teaching in Islam? Subhanallah. Ajeeb. How can someone say that? It's unacceptable then. So those who have knowledge, they don't have any doubt. But you will find some who are very doubtful and they speculate about everything in the Quran and the Sunnah. And they want everything to be scientifically proven. If there's a science fact, scientific fact, say, okay, I accept. If there isn't one, then they don't accept. You know, this is not the approach of the true believer in Allah. طيب. وقوله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله. إن أريد بالتأويل معرفة عاقبة الأمور وما تنتهي إليه وتؤول إليه تعين الوقوف على إلا الله. Beautiful. Now this is very technical. Now if you go back to the ayah, look what it says. وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون. And none knows the interpretation except Allah. Then the very next ayah says, and those who are well grounded in knowledge. Here we have an issue. Do we use it as a conjunction with the harf al-atf waw? For example, you say, none, this wordly example, None knows the content of the exam except the teacher. And the principal said that we should come at 7 in the morning. You follow me? Now here, I can mean two things. I will repeat, none knows the content of the exam except the teacher and the principal. If I stop there, what does that mean? Who knows the content of the exam? Two people, the teacher and the principal. But if I said, none knows the content of the exam except the teacher and the principal said, come at 7 in the morning, that's a new sentence.
Yes.
Meaning no one knows but the teacher. Now, in addition to that, the principal said, come at 7 in the morning. So we can no longer include him with the first. You see how crazy that is? It's amazing. Now, the issue here is that, then this is all from the wisdom of Allah. The ayah can be looked at it from both angles. And this is to make the Quran even more, yani, to show you the eloquence of the Quran. You see, this is so technical. The Prophet ﷺ was not writing anything. If you wanted to write a book, and you want it to be eloquent, you have time, you know. Say, let me write it this way, and then you go revise, you know, say, no, maybe it doesn't sound this way. Delete, you know, erase, let me write it again. This was an oral experience. This was revealed once to him, and he will narrate it to the Sahaba in that fashion. He wasn't sitting there writing a book for us to say, wallah, this is nice. This is immediately revealed by Allah in this fashion. So how do we look at the ayah? Does it mean none knows the interpretation but Allah and those who are given knowledge? Or do we say, and none knows the meaning but Allah and those given knowledge, they say we believe in all of it, it's from Allah? No, you cannot say that. We actually can look at it in more than one way. And the Shaykh will explain. That's why I gave you this introduction so you can see the tafsir now. The Shaykh said, now the word ta'wil, ta'wil has multiple meanings in the Quran. When ya'ul shay' ma ya'ul ilayh, what the matter will end up with. Ta'wil could mean the outcome of something. It could mean the outcome of something. It could mean the interpretation of a dream. Like with Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, right? When he was interpreting the dreams, the same word was used, ta'wil. And it could mean explaining the ayah in the book of Allah. It has more than one meaning, maybe four meanings. Now the Shaykh said, if what is intended by the word ta'wil, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, none knows the ta'wil but Allah. If the definition of ta'wil here in this ayah is عَقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ, knowing the outcome of things and what things will end up with, the final result, then we must stop at وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. We should stop at that, because no one knows the future but Allah. Then we'll begin a new sentence by saying وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّ بِهِ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, and those firm in knowledge, they say we believe in all of it is from our Lord. If the intent is what by ta'wil? The outcome of things. Because this is one of the indications of the word ta'wil. Okay, because it has multiple meanings. Now, حيث هو تعالى المتفرد بالتأويل بهذا المعنى. Only Allah knows ta'wil in this fashion, in this context. وَإِنْ أُرِيدَ بِالتَّأْوِيلْ مَعْنَى التَّفْسِيرِ. But if what is intended by ta'wil, the explanation, the interpretation of the ayat. What is intended by the ayat? كَانَ الْعَطْفُ أَوْلَى. It is more suitable that we use the conjunction, that we say, and none knows the ta'wil but Allah and those who are firm in knowledge. Because they are able, otherwise the Quran will not become hudan lil muttaqin. If the Quran wasn't a means of guidance, if no one was able to deal with it, then it's no longer a book of guidance. There must be some people who are able to deal with the book of Allah and explain it to the masses, the laymen like us. That's why we're reading the tafsir. If we grab the Quran and read it, do you think we'll be able to get all this on our own? No way, Jose. You can't. So then people at a level above us must do that, who have knowledge of the Arabic language, of, you know, the sciences of the hadith and the Quran and the tafsir, and it's a whole bunch of, you know, sciences that they are well versed in. So then the ayah becomes, those who are firm in knowledge, they also know the ta'wil. Allah knows the ta'wil and those who are firm in knowledge. if we mean by ta'wil, interpretation of the meaning of the ayat. Beautiful. فيكون هذا مدح للراسخين في العلم. Then the context becomes Allah is praising those who are well grounded in knowledge, that they actually know the ta'wil of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أنهم يعلمون كيف ينزلون نصوص الكتاب والسنة محكمها ومتشابهة. They know how to apply the verses, the ayat of Allah in the kitab and the sunnah, both the entirely clear and the ambiguous. ولما كان, so now you understand both possible interpretations. So it goes back to the word ta'wil. Now notice now, very often this comes in the Quran, where Allah Azza wa Jal will use one word that has so many meanings in the Arabic language in order to encompass all of the meanings. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. You know qadr, how many meanings it has? At least popular, the most popular are like four. Qadr means power, it means grandeur, something of high status, it means preordainment, and it means exact measurement. So Allah says we send it in Laylatul Qadr, meaning it's a night where things are decreed, where Allah decrees what will happen in the whole year, as we know in the other ayat which explain that in the narrations. And it means it's a night of power, of major power. And it means it's a night of high status, because it's Laylatul Qadr. And it means it's a night of measurement, proportion measurement, dealing with the reward and what Allah decrees again. So the word Qadr then encompasses all these meanings. And Allah, who created the language, decreed that the word Qadr will have these multiple meanings. So when He will reveal إِنَّ أَنزَلَهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, we're able to understand all of these multiple meanings with one word, as opposed to the word having a single meaning. You see that? So this now ta'wil, Allah decreed that the ta'wil in the language of the Arabs will have more than one meaning. And with that, we are able, that the Quran becomes majid. What is majid? It's abundant. It's so rich that you cannot really try to squeeze it in a corner. You cannot kind of confine it. It's so vast in its meanings because of the words and the choice of words, that the meanings are almost endless. One ayah can be looked at by 20 different scholars, and each one will be able to deduce a benefit that the other one didn't see. You see? That makes the Quran, and this is one of the miracles of the Quran, that it is unlike the speech of a human being. Not only that they're able to bring the language, they're unable to bring something so rich, so precise, so concise, alaykum salam. So inshallah we will leave with that. Actually this is perfect time, because we are just at the beginning of ayah number 8. So we'll leave that to next week inshallah ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.